Chapter 8. I have visitors. I have written to him, said my aunt before we ate breakfast the next day.
To who, aunt?
I asked.
To Mr. Murdstone, she said. Does he know where I am?
I asked, feeling very worried.
I have told him, she replied. Will you give me back to him?
I said. I felt myself shaking.
I don't know yet, said my aunt.
My heart felt heavy when I heard these words. My aunt did not seem to notice and started cleaning and moving things in the room, which was already very clean and tidy.
Please go upstairs, David, and ask Mr. Dick how he is doing with his book, said my aunt.
I obeyed my aunt immediately and found Mr. Dick looking very closely at a piece of paper. He did not notice me at first, so I had time to look around the room and see a large paper kite in one corner.
Hello! How is the world today? He said when he saw me at the door.
Then he called me over to him and whispered in my ear,
It's a mad world, boy.
Mr. Dick started laughing, and I did not know how to reply, so I told him my aunt's message instead.
I think that I have started the book, said Mr. Dick. Yes, I think that I have started it. Have you been to school?
Yes, sir, I said, for a short time.
Do you know the date? Said Mr. Dick. When King Charles I had his head cut off?
I think it was in the year 1649, I said.
Well, replied Mr. Dick, that is what the history books will tell you, but I don't believe it, because if it was so long ago, how could his thoughts be in my head?
I was very surprised by this question, and again could not give an answer.
It's very strange, said Mr. Dick. I just can't understand it. But please tell Miss Trotwood that I am doing very well with my book on King Charles.
I was going to the door when Mr. Dick pointed to the kite.
Do you like my kite? He asked.
I said that it was very beautiful.
I made it. We'll fly it together one day, he said. Do you see this?
He showed me that the kite was covered in bits of paper that he had written on. When I looked at them closely, I could see pictures of King Charles I's head on some of them.
When it flies, he said, all of the thoughts that I have written down about King Charles fly away with it. That makes me feel better.
He smiled at me, and I smiled too. Then I laughed, and he laughed. I knew then that Mr. Dick and I were already good friends. I waited nervously for many days before Mr. Murdstone replied to my aunt's letter. When his letter came, I was shocked to hear that he was coming to speak to my aunt the next day. I counted the hours until he arrived, waiting for his dark eyes to frighten me once again. Late in the afternoon of the next day, my aunt suddenly shouted,
Donkeys!
I looked out and saw Miss Murdstone ride onto the grass and stop in front of the house.
Go away! Shouted my aunt. That's my garden!
I chased after my aunt and told her who it was. At that moment, Mr. Murdstone also appeared on a donkey.
"I don't care who it is," she said. "I want them off my grass."
My aunt walked quickly back into the house and sat beside Mr. Dick. They waited for Janet to bring the Murdstones in.
"Shall I go away, Aunt?" I asked.
I was very frightened now.
"No, sir," she said.
She pushed me into the corner of the room near her, just as Mr. and Miss Murdstone entered it.
"I didn't know that it was you on those donkeys, but I don't allow anyone to ride on my grass. Are you the Mr. Murdstone who married the widow of my nephew, David Copperfield?" she asked.
"I am," said Mr. Murdstone.
"I must say, Mr. Murdstone," said my aunt, "it was not wise to marry that poor child."
"I agree with you, Miss Trotwood," said Miss Murdstone.
"I imagine that you do," said my aunt.
"Miss Trotwood," said Mr. Murdstone, "I wanted to talk to you in person about this unhappy boy who has run away from his friends and his job. He gave my dear wife a lot of trouble. My sister and I have tried to be firm with him and make him a better boy, but he has not listened to us."
"My brother speaks the truth," said Miss Murdstone. "Of all the boys in the world, I believe that he is the worst."
"Those are very strong words," said my aunt quickly. "Mr. Murdstone, if my great-nephew was your own boy, would you put him in the job you gave him?"
"If he was my brother's own boy," said Miss Murdstone, "his nature would be very different."
"Miss Trotwood," said Mr. Murdstone, "I am here, for the first and last time, to take David away. Is he ready to go? If he is not, and you choose to keep him, my door is closed to him forever."
My aunt listened quietly, then turned to me.
"And what does the boy say? Are you ready to go, David?"
"No, please don't let me go, Aunt," I begged.
"Mr. Dick," said my aunt, "what shall I do with this child?"
Mr. Dick looked nervous. Then he smiled and said,
"Get him some new clothes."
"Mr. Dick, you are always so wise. You can go now, Mr. Murdstone. Goodbye, and goodbye to you, ma'am. I don't believe a word that you say about the boy. And Miss Murdstone, don't ride a donkey over my grass again, or I'll knock your hat off."
Mr. and Miss Murdstone left quickly. My aunt smiled at me, and I felt brave enough to kiss her.
"Mr. Dick," said my aunt, "we will adopt this child together."
"I would like that very much," replied Mr. Dick.
"I think we should call him Trotwood Copperfield," my aunt said.
"Of course," said Mr. Dick.